I'm Carl King. I'm glad that I wore my white uniform for this occasion, so as you, I can see this is a very, very important audience. Well, tonight I was asked to talk about myself, but believe me, I'm not really comfortable with that. When I was active in musical circles, whether it was with the various circus bands or more than 50 years with the municipal band in Fort Dodge, I let my music do my talking for me. I published nearly 300 compositions, of which 200 were marches. I also wrote waltzes, overtures, and mood pieces, serenades, rags, gallops for circus acts, which is a pretty specialized market, as you might know. It's kind of like writing background music for movies. Later, I wrote school band music and compositions for various college and university bands. You know, I couldn't be more pleased to learn that bands all over the world are still playing my music. Who would have thought it? Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Well, I was born in Paintersville, Ohio on February 21st, 1891. It was a very small town, and it's not even on the map anymore. You know, I'm told I don't look too bad for being 126 years old. In fact, last year, I'm sure most of you, or not if all, attended a nice celebration for my 125th birthday by this fine band. When I was a lad, I sold papers on the street to buy my first horn, a cornet. Later, I switched to baritone. You know, I always cottoned to the sound of the baritone, and I featured it quite a bit in my later compositions. I wrote my first march at 14, and at 17, I had my first one published. And you know, it meant more to me to have my name on that piece of music than the $10 they gave me for it. Well, when I finished eighth grade, that was the end of my formal schooling, so I went to work to learn a skill, as many young lads in my day did. I apprenticed to be a printer. Well, one day I heard bands in the parade passing near the print shop, so I thought I'd go down and listen to them. When I got back, I was told that I could either stay and learn printing or leave and learn music. Guess you know what I did. Next few years, I played baritone horn and cornet with several bands in Canton and Columbus, Ohio. Finally, at age 19, I did what many lads talk about doing but never do. I joined the circus. First, I went to Emporia, Kansas to join Robinson's famous circus. And when I got off the train with my suitcase under one arm and my baritone under the other, I found that I'd missed it. Yeah, they had been run out of town due to some altercation with local authorities concerning miscalculations of the gate receipts. Well, I asked several folks if they would help me, but no one would. So with the 87 cents that I had, I bought a sack of donuts and sat dejectedly at the train station. The advance man for the circus, who had been detained by local authorities, took pity on me and escorted me to the next stop. Isn't it ironic that the only person willing to help a boy down on his luck was a man that just got out of jail? I found out later Robinson Circus was known among circus owners as Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. In the next few years, I played for and conducted several circus bands, including the Sells Floto Buffalo Bill Wild West Show during Colonel Coney's final years. As bandmaster, I was official postmaster, and so I made sure that I delivered Colonel Coney's mail last. I have the fondest memories of having coffee with Colonel Cody and chatting with him. You know, in the circus world, I was privileged to meet many famous people, but none as special as Colonel Cody. I wrote Passing of the Red Man in honor of the Colonel, and he always requested that it be played at every performance, even after I left to conduct the Barnum and Bailey Band. At 26, I became its youngest conductor. During my time there, I wrote what was to become my most famous or my most popular march, Barnum and Bailey's favorite, and you're going to hear that tonight. Let me tell you how I became a band director. Well, while I was playing at Sol's Floto, the band director got sick, and they asked me to lead the band. Well, about halfway through the piece, it occurred to me, you know, it's a hell of a lot easier waving this little stick around than carrying that damn baritone horn. Well, since most of my compositions were marches, and some call me the March King, but you know, I think that had a lot to do with my name. I think the greatest composer of marches was John Philip Sousa. But we had different audiences. He wrote for the military band, and I wrote for the circus. Let me tell you a few examples of how my circus music was used. Now, all circuses have the grand entry parade with circus wagons, animals, performers in elaborate costume. It's functioned much like the overture does for a musical or an opera. Robinson's grand entry march is a good example. Yeah, it's that Robinson, all right. The Walking Frog was written for clown acts who actually were dressed up like frogs. It eventually became so popular that it kind of became the national anthem for all clown acts. The circus gallop was very popular and was used whenever excitement was wanted in a circus act. I wrote several of these. Throughout my career, I always intended to write music that you could hum, whistle, or sing. Music that sticks with you. When I was nearly 30, I left the circus and went back to Canton, Ohio, because I'd taken the shine to a beautiful, dark-haired keyboard player named Ruth. We decided to marry and agreed that the circus life was not very conducive to family life. But just then, I received a call from John Ringling to conduct the band for the newly formed Greatest Show on Earth. Well, this was an offer I couldn't refuse. Ruth went with me and played the steam calliope. We did this for 2 years and decided we should have a more permanent lifestyle. So I answered an ad in a national music magazine for someone to conduct an already established band. Well, it was right here in Fort Dodge. I was offered and accepted a one-year trial contract with the idea that it was to be renewed each year after that. You know, it never was. I came here not particularly planning to stay, but it turned out to be a steady job, so I hung around for a little more than 50 years. I guess somebody forgot to fire me. Ruth ran the music store downtown, the music publishing business, and the Fort Dodge Municipal Band was busy playing for a number of events each year, including being a mainstay at the Iowa State Fair for many years. The store not only gave us more income, but it allowed me the freedom to both compose and guest conduct bands throughout the United States. It was also a nice place to talk to my old cronies from the band and from other band directors when they stopped by. I loved to talk. I was even known to talk, take music orders, and compose music all at the same time. In 1934, I heard about a Sioux City architect, Henry Kamphoffner. He won a prize for his design of a large, sweeping band shell. Well, with the help of many, many outstanding local folks and the National WPA, it was built right here. Well, when it was completed in 1938, 10,000 people attended the dedication ceremony. Over the years, time and weather took its toll, and so the citizens raised a large sum of money to have it restored. And as you can see, it looks brand new. In 1962, they built a nice long bridge across the Des Moines River from downtown west to the golf course, private golf course, out west of town. They invited the band to perform for the dedication. I didn't know it at the time, but they surprised me by naming it the Carl King Viaduct. Now that's quite a nice honor. But at the time, a rather infamous place called the Creole Inn was at the East End. I used to joke that I probably was the only man in the United States that had a bridge named after him that went from a whorehouse to the country club. Now, My wife, Ruth, was a somewhat staid conservative lady, and she would occasionally scold me for my colorful language. So I apologize to anyone in the audience who might have been offended. Over the years, I was fortunate to have a very professional group of men and women playing in the band. However, sometimes it was hard to keep concentration in some of the long rehearsals. I'm reminded of a time when my very accomplished first chair clarinet, who was also a college band director, made the same very obvious mistake 3 times in a row. I stopped the band and I said, "Bill, what in the hell's the matter with you?" He said, "I'm sorry, Carl. I guess I'm just asleep." And I said, "Billy, if it's all the same to you, sleep with your wife and play the clarinet for me, will you?" Well, my health was always pretty good, so I was able to maintain a very busy schedule. However, just after my 75th birthday, I had a heart attack. That laid me up in the hospital. Well, I was doing pretty good, but my good friend Merrick Wilson from California found out I was ailing. And so he gave me a call. You know, I got so excited talking to him again that damned if I didn't have another one. Well, my health wasn't quite so good after that. But I did get stronger and kept conducting the band. 5 years later, they had a great big celebration for my 80th birthday in February. Oh, the band played and there were television cameras from God knows where. People were standing in the aisles and others couldn't even get into the auditorium. I was just glad the fire marshal didn't come to the concert. However, as an old showman, I had to appreciate turnaway business. Well, in the month that followed, I was invited to all sorts of banquets and parties, and during this time, my pastor once said to me, "Carl, do you get all this praise from clean living?" And I said, "No. It comes from outliving everybody that remembers differently and being too old to be anything else." Well, 2 weeks after our traditional St. Patrick's Day concert, I took sick again, this time for the last time. I joined the Heavenly Band on March 31st, 1971. You know, since that time, people have been so nice in their remembrances. This band shell and this fine municipal band was named for me, as well as the city square where we used to play our downtown concerts. On that site, they recently erected a bronze statue of me. Probably most of you have seen it. I just hope pigeons don't rest on my baton. Meredith has a statue by the same sculptor up there in Mason City, and we're both happy with the results. Well, speaking of Meredith, you all know that his famous musical, The Music Man, which, by the way, will be performed this fall in November by a musical theater troupe celebrating their 50th anniversary. Be on the lookout for that. It was based on a Mason City true story. Well, back in 2006, a writer and theater troupe, the same theater troupe in Fort Dodge, created and performed a musical, Cardiff, which was based on the true story of the hoax of the Cardiff Giant. Remember, a block of gypsum was mined in Fort Dodge, shipped to Chicago, then carved like a prehistoric giant. Then it was buried in Cardiff, New York, hence the name, and dug up a year later. Well, it was proclaimed a prehistoric man, and thousands of people lined up to pay and see the creature. Even P.T. Barnum got in the act. This incredible true story was made into a musical using my music. Who would have thought it, Meredith? A Broadway show with my music. I think he's surprised, but pleased. I know you're all anxiously waiting this fine band concert in a few minutes, so ably conducted by Mr. Gerald Jimerson and Dr. David Klee. They will be performing the final summer concerts of this year, so I'll get out of the way. But before I go, I would like to leave you with this secret I discovered for success in conducting a band. When the band stops playing, stop conducting.